You're listening to This Southern Rain, a Guardian story written by Martha and read by Seth, S-E-F. This story is set entirely in episode 22, and no archive warnings apply. Chapter headings are drawn from this poem by 8th century Chinese poet Du Fu. This southern rain nourishes the mossy stones as it slows news from the capital. In mountains cold, a black bull lows. By evening's river, a white gull cries his hunger. Patterned hairpins of the goddess drop. The mermaid, sitting by her loom, mourns. Cares will not come untangled, streaming down all day in silken threads. Translation by William H. Nienhauser. Chapter 1. This southern rain nourishes the mossy stones as it slows news from the capital. Zhao Yunlan awoke from a bad dream into darkness. He gasped, choking off the shout that had followed him out of sleep, and rubbed his eyes before he remembered he would always be awakening in the dark now. He rolled onto his side and sat up. It had started raining after he'd gone to bed, but otherwise his apartment was quiet. The entire building was quiet. Probably the middle of the night, then. Sheng Wei? He asked quietly. Da Jing? No one answered, and he was annoyed by how small and tentative his voice sounded. He had already known he was alone. That quality of stillness in this small space was unmistakable. Da Qin snored, and Zhao Yunlan could pick out Shen Wei's sandalwood cologne anywhere. Since the battle with Yuzan that had taken his sight, he had become so attuned to that soft, warm fragrance, he imagined it like a golden thread shimmering through the darkness. This darkness was empty. His apartment smelled faintly of the early lunch Shen Wei had prepared many hours before. Afterwards, Shen Wei had explained he was returning to campus to oversee the end of an experiment. He had extracted a promise from Da Qin to be here for Zhao Yunlan. And what had Zhao Yunlan said? Of course he bluffed that he was perfectly fine and did not need a babysitter. With that memory fresh, he got up and made his way to the bathroom, moving more carefully and slowly than he did when he knew someone was watching. Afterwards, he decided he deserved a drink and found his way to the liquor cabinet. This was a muscle memory hardly requiring sight. He unscrewed the lid from the first bottle his hand touched and brought the lip to his mouth for a swallow. Happy surprise! He thought that square bottle was Baijiu. But damn if this wasn't his imported scotch, which certainly deserved better than being swigged straight from the bottle in the middle of the night. Well, maybe just one more. The scotch opened his sinuses and blazed a happy path down to his gut. He lowered the bottle before he could take a third drink and was twisting the lid back on when he heard another sound in the apartment. He froze, straining to hear. Nothing. Just the rain outside, the muted hum of the HVAC, and the sound of footsteps from his lead-footed neighbor one floor above. He tried to decide what he had heard. Quiet. So quiet. Had there been anything at all? Come to think of it, it was strange Da Qin wasn't here. Not that it would be out of character for him to spend the night roaming, but he generally stuck close to home in inclement weather. He even felt a flash of annoyance with Shen Wei. What kind of science experiment had to be conducted in the middle of the night, anyway? He had told his father just the other day that he had known Shen Wei would always be there for him. Here it was, only a night later, and he was being stood up for a science experiment. Then he felt ashamed of himself for that unworthy thought, and hoped Shen Wei had the good sense to portal straight back home instead of waiting for a cab or, heaven forfend, taking the night bus in this deluge. Anyway, Zhao Yunlan was perfectly fine by himself. Of course he was. But it was not the most pleasant feeling to be standing motionless in your living room, held hostage by a single, inexplicable sound in the dark. Outside, the rain was coming down harder than ever. Zhao Yunlan usually enjoyed these rainy autumn nights, especially when he was bundled up safe and warm at home. But tonight, the sound of the rain brought no comfort. He just felt alone. Then he heard that single soft sound from within the apartment again. He tensed, hand tight around the neck of the scotch bottle. Where the fuck was Dajin anyway? Despite Zhao Yunlan's protest of independence, Dajin had said he would be staying in, hadn't he? Of course, that damn cat had been off balance ever since they'd listened to Zhu Hong reading the Book of Ancient Secrets. He sure as hell had not been paying attention when he let himself get caught snooping on that so-called miracle doctor. Now, that had been just sad. Not that being thrown out of that quack's office for good had been any great loss. Zhao Yunlan had gotten a funny vibe off him during both meetings, and had been just as glad to leave, to tell the truth. Shen Wei had been so disappointed, though. Another soft plink of sound. Zhao Yunlan stood rigid, straining to hear, taking comfort from the darkness. And then it finally occurred to him to wonder whether it was actually dark in here at all. Apparently, Dajin wasn't the only one who didn't have his head on straight these days. For all he knew, he was standing here with lights ablaze, looking every inch the fool, with a scotch bottle hoisted like a weapon, in his t-shirt and boxers. And it didn't matter what he looked like, because he knew he was alone. Relatively certain, anyway. Then he heard that sound again, and his shoulders relaxed. A drop of water, that was all. The kitchen faucet dripped if you didn't make sure it was completely turned off. He set down the bottle, hitting the glass shelf below with a crack Zhao Yunlan hoped wasn't literal. He made his way to the kitchen, only to find the sink empty and bone dry. He moved around the apartment slowly. Outside, it was raining harder than ever. The window behind the wide seat stood partly open for Dajin. Zhao Yunlan leaned over to run his hand around the frame, smelling the cold scent of night rain. Then he checked every lamp, touching fingertips to the bulbs to determine each was turned off, and double-checked the overhead light switches as well. He heard another soft plink-plunk from somewhere in the apartment, and this time thought to check the bathroom sink and shower. The shower head was dry, the water turned off in the sink. He couldn't think of an easy way to check if the sound was coming from the toilet tank or bowl. Anyway, there was nothing he could do about it tonight, so he might as well go back to bed. That wasn't a pleasant prospect either. He sprawled on the couch instead, grabbing the scotch bottle again on his way, and tried to remember what he'd been dreaming about just before waking up. It had been unsettling, if not precisely a nightmare. The half-memory alone had left him jittery and uncomfortable, starting at ordinary sounds in his own home. There had been a small courtyard in his dream, familiar for some reason, Had he been someplace like that recently? And rain. Always the rain, reaching him through the veil of sleep. He could almost feel it now, cold and relentless. A shiver went down his spine, and then he heard another drop fall. It was closer than before, right over his shoulder. He sat up straight, his breathing shallow and silent. The rain was still coming down so hard outside, he didn't know how he'd even heard a solitary droplet. Awkwardly reaching behind himself, he patted the back of the sofa. Dry, of course. The dream memory of that brick courtyard was so vivid he could almost feel the cold, wet pavement under his knees. At that, he twisted open the bottle he was clutching and took a healthy swig, only to discover this time he really had snagged the baijiu. The pungent heat made him gasp, but his second swallow began to dull the dream memory of that grim little courtyard. And by the third, he was not entirely certain why he was sitting on the sofa drinking at all. That didn't seem a good enough reason to stop. "Zhao Yunlan." Shenwei's voice awoke him, sounding fond but exasperated. "Your system has received a terrible shock. I have explained that you must take care of yourself." He tugged the bottle out of his hands. "Let me get you back to bed." "Shenwei," he said, vastly relieved. He sat up and stretched. "I wasn't drinking. I was just waiting for you to get home." "You were most assuredly drinking. But I am sorry I was detained." Shenwei pulled him to his feet. "I thought Dajin was going to be here." "He's a cat. Who knows where he gets to at night?" Zhao Yunlan clung to Shenwei for a moment, more under the guise of finding his balance. Instead of sandalwood, tonight he smelled like rain and cold stone. And though his clothes were dry, Zhao Yunlan could feel him shivering. "Did you get caught in the rain?" "Surely Dajin must understand the need for him to be available while you are..." "While I'm blind? Are you two planning to babysit me for the rest of my life?" Zhao Yunlan noticed Shenwei wasn't answering his first question. "How long were you outside?" He reached for Shenwei again and latched onto an arm, patted his way up Shenwei's shoulder and neck, touched his ear with his fingertips, and then brazenly ruffled Shenwei's hair. As he had suspected, the roots were still damp. "It doesn't do you any good to magic your clothes dry if you don't raise your body temperature, too. Why don't you ever seem to have learned any powers that would simply make you more comfortable?" "As you know, to your own cost, although my abilities are theoretically unlimited, my actual power is not. I always hope to prioritize the safety of those around me." "Whose safety were you prioritizing tonight by standing around out in the rain?" "I was not standing around in the rain. Now, to bed." Shenwei walked him to the bedside and sat him down. "I have good news. I spoke to Dr. Feng again, and he has agreed to see you tomorrow."
"What, that crabby guy who threw us out of his office not once, but twice?"
"I don't know. I think Zhu Hong probably has the right idea about him. He strikes me as a shifty, self-important quack. And Dajin thought he might be using dark energy."
"You do not seem to object to dark energy when I am the one wielding it," Shenwei observed mildly. "At any rate, we cannot afford to overlook any possibility of help. I will bring you a cup of warm water, and then you must go back to bed."
Zhao Yunlan grabbed Shenwei's forearm to prevent him from leaving, and ran his other hand up his chest,
feeling his way up to Shenwei's neck. He might not have taken such liberties if he could see, but he didn't think Shenwei would push him away now. He did not, though his throat was as cold as ice, and he was trembling. "You must prepare hot water for yourself as well, Shenwei," Zhao Yunlan declaimed. "Then you will bring it here and drink while sitting beside me. On this point, I will be absolutely inflexible."
"Fine," Shenwei agreed.
"You have to let go of me first."
Zhao Yunlan did not let him go.
"One more thing," he said. "Do you hear water dripping? When I woke up, I heard water and I couldn't find where it was coming from."
"It is still raining outside."
"Not outside, in here, like a dripping faucet."
"Ah."
Shenwei was silent for a moment.
"I can detect nothing of the kind."
"Not a leak coming through the ceiling? Would you turn on the light to check?"
"Zhao Yunlan, there is no leak. Now lie down and relax while I prepare a warm drink for us both."
He allowed Shenwei to settle him in bed and tuck the blanket around him. "I must have water on the brain. I had a bad dream before I got up just now. Rain pouring down in a brick courtyard."
Shenwei went very still.
What's the matter?"
"Rest."
Shenwei abruptly withdrew while Zhao Yunlan was still reaching for him. He sat up in bed to ensure he would not fall asleep before Shenwei returned. He listened to him puttering around in the kitchen, heating water, getting out glasses. His return footsteps were so quiet that Zhao Yunlan heard the soft clink of a glass being set down before he realized Shenwei was at his bedside again. Shenwei took his hand and wrapped his fingers gently around the warm glass.
"You have one too?"
Zhao Yunlan demanded. In answer, Shenwei touched the side of his own glass briefly to the side of Zhao Yunlan's face and said,
"As you can feel for yourself."
"All right, then." The curious intimacy of Shenwei's warm water glass pressed to his cheek made him restless. He swallowed his own water in a gulp and flopped down onto the bed. As he did, he wrapped one arm around Shenwei's waist, keeping him anchored sitting on the side of the bed. Shenwei made a slight huff of surprise, but allowed the sleepy manhandling.
"Shenwei, why did my bad dream bother you?"
He hesitated.
"I regret that you awakened to find yourself alone."
Why was Shenwei lying about this?
"You think I had another vision," Zhao Yunlan decided.
"The hollows are messing with my experience of the time stream again." Shenwei answered very quickly this time.
"That seems unlikely."
Then he asked, "Did you see anyone in the rainy courtyard of your dream?" In that moment, Zhao Yunlan thought if he could say just the right thing, Shenwei might actually tell him the truth. Unfortunately, he had no idea what the right thing might be.
"I don't know. I don't think so. It was like I was watching from outside, but I remember..."
He was about to confess his memory of cold pavement under his knees, but hesitated. A moment later, he knew he had made the wrong choice, because Shenwei gently unwound the arm Zhao Yunlan had flung around his waist and stood up.
"I'm not going to go to sleep," Zhao Yunlan insisted childishly.
"Then just rest. I will be here." For a while, he lay with his eyes stubbornly open, but then he began to think about his dream. The more he tried to pin down details, the further they slipped away from him. He wasn't sure that he ever actually slept, but sometime later he heard Shen Wei saying quietly, "Zhao Yunlan woke up alone. I thought we had agreed you would keep watch." The side of his bed sank with the weight of Da Qin in his human form.
"Hey!"
Da Qin poked his shoulder.
"Are you mad at me?"
"I'm not mad. I am asleep," Zhao Yunlan told him.
"Because I couldn't stay in. These days it feels like my mind isn't even my own anymore."
Da Qin transformed as he leapt over Zhao Yunlan to make himself at home on the far side of the pillow.
"I don't care that you went out. I do care when you come home to plop your wet self down on my bed."
He shoved ineffectively at the damp, furry bulk crowding him.
"You and Shen Wei. Neither one of you has enough sense to come in out of the rain. And there it is again."
Zhao Yunlan pushed back the covers and sat up in bed. "Something's dripping." Da Qin ignored him.
"What is it now?" Shen Wei asked, not quite patiently. "I have explained you cannot expect to recover without sufficient rest." "There's water dripping somewhere in here. I just heard it."
"And before you say it, no, it's not the rain."
"Can you tell me where it's coming from?"
"It's not frequent enough for that. Just one little drop every now and then."
"Is it falling on tile or wood? Metal? Glass?"
"If I knew that, I could find it myself," he snapped back, aggravated by his own helplessness. Shen Wei was kind enough to avoid observing that probably wasn't true.
"Pavement. Like drops of water on pavement."
Zhao Yunlan was surprised how certain he was.
"Perhaps an echo from outside," Shen Wei said quietly.
"No, I don't think so." Zhao Yunlan disagreed, even though it was the only explanation that made sense.
"Zhao Yunlan, you have been agitated since you awoke alone out of a nightmare. You are understandably disoriented and angry, and I've been completely unable to help. I understand your frustrations, but please..."
Okay, not what he meant at all.
"This is not about me being angry, which I am not. And even if I were, I would certainly not be mad at you.
It has everything to do with my inability to keep you safe," he insisted. He laid both hands on Zhao Yulan's shoulders.
"But I truly hope that Dr. Feng will be able to help you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, you must rest and quiet your mind. Please."
He sounded in such dismay, Zhao Yunlan was brought up short, the phantom water droplets forgotten.
"Stop! You will not apologize to me for something that happened because I was doing my job."
The hands on his shoulders knotted, gathering up his t-shirt in his fists.
"Please, quiet your mind and rest, at least for a few hours. Just for tonight, this is all I'm asking."
He sounded one harsh word away from shattering.
Zhao Yunlan couldn't stand it. He gently wrapped a hand around each tensed forearm.
Shen Wei's sleeves were pushed up, his skin still cold to the touch under Zhao Yunlan's hands.
"If you're going to sit up all night, at least wrap yourself up in a blanket," he said roughly, and finally allowed Shen Wei to settle him back in bed.
Well, one good thing. Da Qin had decamped without ceremony, allergic as usual to displays of emotion from anyone but himself. Zhao Yunlan had his slightly damp pillow to himself again.
Chapter 2. In mountains cold, a black bull lows, By evening's river, a white gull cries his hunger. Dr. Feng's bedside manner had not improved. He chivied Shen Wei out of the room as soon as Zhao Yunlan was settled on the examination table. Zhao Yunlan heard the lightweight doors rattling as they slammed after him. "Your friend is fanatically devoted to your well-being," the doctor grumbled. "What's the story there? Do you owe him money?" Since Shen Wei would be devastated if Zhao Yunlan got them thrown out of the doctor's office again, he bit off his angry retort and took refuge in a proverb. "It's like they say, Doc, only when the years grow cold do we realize the pine and cypress are last to fade." Dr. Feng grudgingly finished for him. "Only when we get into trouble do we know our true friends. Fine. Settle down and let me see if I can alleviate this particular trouble for you." Zhao Yunlan was not sure what to expect. Well, nothing, if he were honest. He lay on the examination table in a room that smelled faintly of musty herbals and waited. It had been a clear morning when they set out, but the rain had returned. He heard it pattering against the windows. Dr. Feng didn't say anything, but all at once a fresh, powerfully organic scent suffused the air. Zhao Yunlan thought of ripening fruit and wet soil, and in the next instant he was overwhelmed with a delicious sensation of warmth. It fell on his face like sunshine and rolled through his entire body, clear, bright, and golden. He had never felt anything so invigorating. He blinked open his eyes with his very spirit gulping for the remnants of that sweet, nourishing warmth. The first thing he saw was the fluorescent light overhead, hazy and bright, the edges of the fixture slowly sharpening into focus. He turned his head to see raindrops running down the outside of the window panes. He was aware, briefly, of a faint niggle of concern that was his policeman's second sense, but it was drowned out by the simple animal joy of the moment. Delicious, heady as new wine or young love. And with that very thought, Shen Wei came bursting through the doors. Zhao Yunlan smiled because Shen Wei was so lovely, and Zhao Yunlan felt so good, and the radiance spread across Shen Wei's face in turn. Zhao Yunlan thought he had never been so happy in his life. The next minutes passed in a blur. He heard the doctor quote a staggering sum for his services, which Shen Wei paid before Zhao Yunlan, in his dazed state, could even think of pulling out his wallet. That was okay. He would pay him back later, when he wasn't so absorbed in watching the play of emotions on Shen Wei's features. He had thought he might never see that face again, and now he could gaze as long as he liked. His heart felt huge, open and young, with love for the whole world, and especially for this man at his side. Once they were on the street again, he caught a whiff of fried bread from a food cart and dragged Shen Wei along with him. "Do you smell that?" he demanded. "I've never smelled anything so delicious in my life." In deference to his gastritis, Shen Wei had made a carefully bland breakfast congee this morning. But all traces of that constant, low-grade upset were gone now. "You were absolutely right about Dr. Feng. Not only do I have my eyes back, I feel like a new man." "I am very glad." Shen Wei ducked his head and smiled that cautious smile of his that Zhao Yunlan could never see often enough. "But perhaps something more nourishing than Tang Gao and celebration." "Nope, this is perfect," Zhao Yunlan declared, taking a big bite of the deep-fried rice cake. Madly impulsive, he darted forward and actually kissed Shen Wei's cheek, leaving a dusting of sugar.
Zhao Yunlan watched in fascination as a quick blush pinked Shunwei's face. He would never take the gift of eyesight for granted again. He brushed the sugar from Shunwei's cheek himself, letting his fingers caress the line of his jaw for an instant longer, perhaps, than decorum might allow, then spun away on his heel before he got carried away. In his current mood, he thought Shunwei would not have the heart to deny him anything, and they were on a public street. He distracted himself with the beauty of the rest of the vivid, glorious world, trying to take in everything. The people on the sidewalks, the shiny paint jobs of automobiles flashing by on the street, the bright advertisements in shop windows, the cloudless blue sky overhead, and the morning sun clearing the edge of the buildings across the street. He stopped. "I thought it was raining," he said. Shunwei immediately looked concerned. "Are you feeling all right? Do you need to sit down?" "No, I mean, I know it isn't raining now, but I thought..." The streets and sidewalks around him were dry. "I thought it was raining just now while we were still in Dr. Feng's office." "While he was treating you?" Shunwei frowned. "I'm sorry, I don't remember. I was concerned for you. I wasn't paying attention to the weather." He looked around. "The gutters are still wet, but isn't that from last night?" "Must have been a quick pop-up shower," Zhao Yunlan said uncertainly, and took another bite, trying to recapture his euphoria. He turned back to the food cart and bought a dozen more servings of Tang Gao to distribute at the office. "Let's go share the good news." Shunwei smiled in agreement, but Zhao Yunlan couldn't shake his own tiny, unwelcome sense of concern. "Wait a minute. You know what? You've been missing classes and working through the night ever since this happened. You need to spend a day on campus now that I've got my eyesight back." Shunwei was reluctant. "I would feel more comfortable accompanying you until we know you are fine." Zhao Yunlan had already stepped out into the street to hail a taxi. "My mind is made up," he announced, pushing Shunwei into the back seat of the cab and climbing in after him. He directed the driver to the university. "Promise me you will not drive for at least another day. We must ensure the cure is permanent." The close confines of the taxi prevented Zhao Yunlan from swinging his arms around to express just how sure he was that he had completely recovered. He settled for promising not to drive himself anywhere until the next morning. He was tempted to kiss Shunwei goodbye at the front of the bioengineering building, but, perhaps divining his mood, Shunwei ducked away and promised to see him that evening after work. This was one of those times when Zhao Yunlan hated his own brain. What he really wanted to do was carry Shunwei home and spend the rest of the day together in bed. He thought Shunwei wouldn't be too hard to convince, the smiles they had been sharing this morning. Unfortunately, here he was going to the office, with a stop right back at Dr. Feng's clinic along the way. Asking the cabbie to wait for him, he got out in front of the somber brick edifice. Although the sun was still high in the sky, the building itself was dark, shaded by its taller neighbors across the street. He hesitated, then stepped into the little courtyard that led to Dr. Feng's front door. The paving tiles underfoot were dry. He turned slowly, looking at dark walls pierced by tall, narrow windows, a rectangle of blue sky far overhead. It was as dark as a prison yard, and he felt a chill, despite the warmth of the mid-autumn day. "You again." Dr. Feng stood on the front step. "What is it now? I'm almost afraid to ask." He was smiling, though, and obviously in a good mood. Zhao Yunlan smiled back.
No worries, Doc, but I just realized I was so happy to have my sight back, I left without thanking you.
I have no need for further thanks, Dr. Feng said, though he seemed pleased.
Healing the sick is my life's work, after all.
Oh? You seemed quite determined not to heal me previously.
How did Zheng Wei persuade you to change your mind?
A cloud passed over the doctor's face, and Zhao Yunlan added,
Of course, I am very grateful you chose to favor me with your healing skill, whatever the reason. You have a rare talent indeed.
The flattery calmed him.
Your friend simply asked with great humility.
Is it so wrong that a professional be respected for his work?
Zhao Yunlan hissed through his teeth and then laughed, harsh and short.
Now that, doctor, is a statement I find hard to understand. Professor Shun is unfailingly polite in all circumstances, punctilious even, in observing the courtesies that society demands of us all. And yet you ask for more.
Dr. Feng stepped back. His expression shuddered.
I knew the first time you stepped into my office that you and your friends were going to be more trouble than could possibly be worth my time.
Zhao Yunlan raised both hands, but he could still hear the growl in his voice.
I am simply consumed with curiosity about the miraculous doctor who has restored my vision.
My advice to you is to be grateful for the return of your sight, and leave your curiosity to the four winds. I have work to do.
He retreated hastily into his clinic, slamming the door behind him.
Well, that had not been reassuring. He hadn't even asked if the doctor had noticed a morning rainstorm.
His uneasy feeling about the good Dr. Feng was all the worse for the man having healed him so completely. What display of humility had he required from Shen Wei? The very thought made his head thick with so much anger he had hardly dared even acknowledge it during their conversation. The anger overwhelmed his senses now, and he pressed himself hard against the back seat of the cab, vertiginous with a swirling rage that had no definite shape, just shadows glimpsed through rain.
Master of the Guardians, I saw it all. Why does he do this for you?
Zhao Yunlan wrenched his head up, eyes flying open.
What did you say?
The cab driver glanced up at the rearview mirror.
So you don't want the radio on?
What? I don't care about the radio. Play whatever you want.
Zhao Yunlan rolled his shoulders and tried to relax. The sudden return of his eyesight had left him dangerously off balance, wonderful as it was. Those first few minutes had been positively euphoric. He had felt invincible as a stupid teenager, ready to climb mountains, woo Shen Wei, take over the world. The sheer immensity of feeling had subsided, and now it felt more like a hectic flush, too much caffeine on an empty stomach. The smell of fried bread in the back seat with him was making him queasy. He cracked the window for fresh air and felt an errant drop of water on the back of his hand.
My aunt sometimes makes bai tang gao for special occasions, but hers are steamed, not deep-fried and rolled in sugar. Guo Chengchun helped himself to another. But these are very delicious, too.
These will make you fat if you are not careful, Chu Shu just said, although Zhao Yunlan noticed he was certainly not depriving himself.
Hey, that's true. Lin Jing was a beat behind the joke like usual. If you need me to help with those, I would be glad to do my part.
He reached out half-playfully for the plateful Ju Hung had gathered. Her smile bared teeth, and Lin Jing quickly retracted his hand.
"I can't get over that weird Dr. Feng being the real deal after all."
Ju Hung turned her back on Lin Jing. Sugar from the Tang Gao dotted her usually immaculate lipstick.
"I am very glad, of course, but I can hardly believe it. I did not like him at all."
"Fair to say he did not like us either," Zhao Yunlan agreed. Being back at the office helped his sour mood. His people were so honestly, openly delighted that he could see again. And it was a frank pleasure to watch them tearing into the food he'd brought, like they hadn't eaten in months. It was even good to have a new mystery. Not that he was happy young men were suddenly losing their youth in the blink of an eye, but it was a new problem to focus on. And he could stop brooding about Dr. Feng's secrets.
"How did Shen Wei convince Dr. Feng to change his mind?" Ju Hong persisted. "The last time we were there, he sounded like he never wanted to see us again."
Except, of course, here they were, still talking about him.
"Do you think Shen Wei paid him a visit as the Black Robe Envoy?" Lin Jing speculated with a grin. "Threatened to give him a permanent vacation in Dixing if he didn't fix the chief's eyes."
"Hey, Pausha would have no need to resort to vulgar threats," Chu Shuja disagreed.
"That is very true," Guo Changchun piped up. "Just a black mask would convince me to do anything."
"Idiot,"
Chu Shuja snorted and cuffed the back of his head. Zhao Yunlan noticed both were smiling. In the background, Wang Zheng was answering a ringing telephone. Zhao Yunlan thought he already knew what that call was about, and he was right. The matter had finally worked its way through proper channels, and the premature aging case had been assigned to them. Finally. How long did it take the ministry to decide there was something mysterious at work in a case like this? But that was an old complaint. Honestly, it felt good to be back to the ordinary, extraordinary problems. He assigned Chu Shuja and Xiao Guo to interview the victims, told Lin Jing to dig into the background and investors of Junan Corp, where most of the victims were employed, and to check for online chatter. "And while you're at it, see if Dr. Feng Chu Bing has any kind of internet presence."
"Why? Do you think he has something to do with this?"
Zhao Yunlan didn't think that, did he?
"I simply have unanswered questions about my mysterious healer. Anyway, I already looked into him after he pitched you guys out of his office the first couple of times." Lin Jing sounded glad to be on top of things for a change.
"I couldn't find any online presence at all."
"No chance of getting a look at his patient records then?"
"You ask me, Feng Chu Bing doesn't have a computer in his office. If he even has an account, it's one of those old guys in a cave somewhere, clicking along on an abacus."
"How about street cameras near his office?"
Ju Hung smirked, pleased at the extent of Zhao Yunlan's distrust.
"Nothing nearby. The camera at the top of the street went down a month ago. The city hasn't gotten around to replacing it yet."
Lin Jing snapped his fingers.
Hey, I think Kong Bo has been keeping an eye on the doctor's office for a couple of weeks now. That's why he called us, remember? He got a tip about a miracle doctor and saw some of the cured patients walking away with his own eyes."
"If that shutterbug saw it with his own eyes, then he's got the pictures. I want to see them."
"Everyone," Kung Bo spotted at that clinic.
Zhao Yunlan forced himself to retreat to his own office. It was past time to tackle the mountain of unanswered official email. That was one job he could not fob off on Shen Wei.
The task was all the more dreary because the autumn rain returned while he was working, pattering against the windows behind him and sending watery shadows across his office. In the early afternoon, Song Zan brought in soup dumplings with soy sauce and vinegar. Shen Wei had ordered food delivered, as if worried Zhao Yanlan was planning to get through the day on sweet fried rice cakes alone. Not true. He'd just been busy and hadn't had time to think about his next meal.
Let me guess, Shen Wei sent enough for everyone?
Song Zan smiled and bobbed his head. After dumplings, Qiu Shuzhe called in his report on the early victim interviews, and Lin Jing forwarded the information he'd found online about Junan Corp. The dreary consistency of the rain outside his window made time stand still, and he had no clear idea how long he had been working before he eventually raised his head to see Da Qing lurking at his office door. Zhao Yulan stretched his neck from side to side to chase away the beginnings of a crick. He had definitely been sitting in front of the computer for too long. He raised his arms above his head to stretch out his back. Da Qing waited, which was, ominously, unlike him.
"Well, what is it?" Zhao Yulan snapped. "Did Shen Wei send us all afternoon snacks as well? Don't just stand there like a ghost."
Da Qin smiled miserably.
"There's something you need to see."
"Well, here I sit." Zhao Yanlan opened his arms. "I suggest you show it to me."
He came in reluctantly and held out a cell phone. "This isn't even your phone," Zhao Yanlan noticed. "What am I supposed to be looking at?"
"No, it's Lin Jing's. Kung Bo sent him the pictures he took from outside that doctor's office." Zhao Yanlan reached out slowly to take the mobile phone from Da Qin.
"Why isn't Lin Jing showing me this himself?"
He thought his voice sounded perfectly calm. "Mostly because Lin Jing is a big coward, but I don't blame him. I didn't want to show you either." Zhao Yanlan regarded him for a moment longer before he finally, reluctantly, bowed his head and began scrolling through the string of photographs on Lin Jing's phone. There were dozens of them, several hundred at least, all shot from the street in front of Dr. Feng's clinic. In many of the photographs, a solitary figure was framed by the courtyard entrance with its attached ornamental columns of brick. In others, the magnification was high enough to show the fine dark hairs at the back of Shen Wei's head and the vulnerable line of flesh above his starched shirt collar. His hands were open at his sides, with cuffs pushed almost to the elbow and the polka dot garters at his biceps in that innocent peacock flourish of his. Shen Wei's knees were braced at shoulder width on the pavement to bear the weight of his kneeling body. The scuffed soles of his boots faced the camera. Zhao Yanlan felt his pulse throbbing in his throat, and he wondered for an instant if he were losing his vision again. A red tide cast a veil over his sight. He shook his head impatiently and made his newly restored eyes focus through sheer force of will. The shots Kung Bo had taken with a wide angle revealed people walking past on the street, some with their heads turned to observe the quiet spectacle, but most with their eyes forward, intent on their own lives. The evening downpour changed little except the quality of light. Fewer people were passing by, and Shen Wei's figure in the drenching rain was outlined faintly by the streetlights behind and the lights in the clinic before him. He bent, only at the very end. In three of the last shots, Dr. Feng appeared as a silhouette in the clinic doorway. In the scant handful of pictures that followed, Shen Wei tilted his head for the first time
and in the next his spine curved as he bent over one knee to rise. In the final shots he was halfway to his feet, one arm outflung as he staggered. There the photographs ended. Apparently, Kung Po would hang around on a public street snapping photographs all day long as the black-robed envoy knelt with his back turned, then skitter away like a cockroach when he struggled to rise. Zhao Yunlan closed his eyes, listening to the ever-present patter of the rain on the windows. Then he looked through the pictures again, noting timestamps with particular care, as though the passage of time weren't already painfully clear from the changing light and weather. At length he stood and started to walk around his desk, but caught his hip painfully on the corner, as clumsy as if he were still blind. Da Qin jumped forward to help, but Zhao Yunlan waved him off furiously. He did stop and regroup, however, taking long, deep breaths. When he was sure he could present a calm front, he walked out into the central office space where his people were waiting, hollow-eyed and silent. The rain on the skylights above made the usually bright space seem gray. Zhao Yunlan wondered dismally if some lights were out as well. "So I don't need to ask if you have all looked at these." He walked to Lin Jing's desk and dropped the phone on his lap. Lin Jing scrambled to keep it from hitting the floor, his protest at the careless treatment dying mostly unvoiced. "This is the first thing. You cannot tell Lao Chu. You gadflies spread news like floodwaters in the spring, but if Chu Shuja learns that Dr. Feng allowed Shen Wei..." His voice broke and he tried again. "If Lao Chu finds out that doctor had Shen Wei kneeling outside his office for hours, he will slaughter the man and hang his body up for the crows." Zhu Hong snorted and slapped her hand over her mouth. "No loss," Da Qin muttered. "Pay attention to me, damn it. If Chu Shuja kills a man in cold blood because he feels what we all feel seeing those pictures, I won't be able to protect him from the consequences. Shen Wei won't be able to intercede. Lao Chu will end up back in the dungeon under the palace in Dixing until the end of time, if you breathe a word of this." Zhao Yunlan looked around to be sure he had gotten the message across. Zhu Hong met his gaze squarely, but no one else did. After calling Lin Jing a coward, Da Qing himself was now sitting on the central table in cat form, ears flattened against his broad head. "It has to be mind control," Lin Jing decided. "It's the only explanation. That doctor is dangerous." If only it were that simple. Apparently, the only person truly dangerous to Shen Wei was Zhao Yunlan himself. He put his hands over his face, frankly hiding for a moment, just until he could come to grips. Who would have imagined how quickly he would come to envy his days as a blind man? And the worst of it was, he had already known. Feng Chubing said Shen Wei had asked humbly for treatment, and that remark alone had made Zhao Yunlan sick with rage. But even before that, he'd awakened from a nightmare of kneeling in that little courtyard, and Shen Wei had walked in, smelling of the same rain that had drenched him to the bone. And still, Zhao Yunlan had not realized. A gust of rain thundered against the skylights like a monsoon blowing in. "He is not yours to destroy," hissed an angry voice in his ear. He dropped his hands. "Did anyone else hear that?" he demanded before he could think, and
then was sorry he had said anything out loud when he saw the expressions around him. Zhao Yunlan swiped his hands in front of his mouth as though he could grab back the question.
"It's this never-ending rain," he explained weakly. "I can't hear myself think."
The expressions of alarm only intensified, but Song Zan was the only one with the courage to explain, saying frankly through his stammer,
"Chief Zhao, it is not raining."
His legs went out. Zhu Hong was not closest, but she had the advantage of serpentine agility and strength. She caught him as he sprawled and wrestled him up onto the sofa. Zhao Yunlan dug the heels of his hands into his eyes and then peeked ceilingward. The late afternoon sun was sinking in the west, the sky above a brilliant cloudless blue. He scrubbed his hands over his eyes again and asked faintly, "Has it been clear all afternoon?" "Zhao Yunlan, it has not rained since last night," Zhu Hong said firmly. "What has that misbegotten excuse for a healer done to your eyes? I will kill him myself, and I promise you he will not find death by snake venom, quick or easy."
"Stop. It's not my eyes. It's in my head."
"Sorry, boss," said Lin Jing. "That really doesn't sound any better."
"It's contact with the hollows. It must be. I've been seeing visions, things that haven't happened yet."
"Zhao Yunlan, this just gets worse and worse." Zhu Hong was still clutching one of his shoulders, and he eased her away from him.
"Should we call Shen Wei?" Wang Zhang wanted to know.
Then the phone rang on her desk, and she stepped back to answer.
"No one is calling Shen Wei," Zhao Yunlan said firmly. "I'll talk to him tonight. For now, run down the names and history of everyone else Kung Bo saw at that clinic. I want a complete dossier. And tell Kung Bo to destroy those pictures. If any get out, I will make it my mission in life to ensure he's the one who never leaves the palace dungeon."
"I'm on it," Lin Jing said.
"That was the ministry,"
Wang Zhang put down the phone.
"It seems there was another incident just this morning. The report got hung up during the shift change."
"Windswept and rain-soaked," Zhao Yunlan said with a groan. He quickly added, "It's just a saying. I can see very well. It is not actually raining."
"Are the details in my email?"
Wang Zhang nodded.
"I'll talk to Zhu Shuja and get him to investigate on the ground. In the meantime, we've got to dig deeper into the background of the individual victims, see if there are further commonalities besides the fact they worked at the same business. I want a map showing each victim's location when he was stricken. Include the time of day."
"Should we do that instead of investigating the people Dr. Feng has healed?" Lin Jing wanted to know.
Zhao Yunlan scowled. "You all work for the Exalted Special Investigations. I'm certain you have the wherewithal to accomplish both."
He stood without assistance, relieved he could actually manage it, and fled to his office, slamming the door behind him. Before he sat down at his desk, he turned and faced the windows, imprinting the vision of late afternoon sunlight firmly in his mind. The rain was still falling in Dr. Feng's dark little courtyard, though. Nothing Zhao Yunlan could do would ever change that.
Chapter 3. Pattern hairpins of the goddess drop. The mermaid, sitting by her loom, mourns. When Zhao Yunlan answered the door that evening, Shenwei entered with groceries in hand and a sweet smile on his face.
It is a great pleasure to have you open your own door to me again.
How are your eyes? Instead of answering, Zhao Yilan pulled him into a tight embrace. He tucked his head against Shenwei's neck and shoulder, and for the next moment allowed himself to simply hold the man, breathing deeply. Taken by surprise, both hands on the handles of his grocery bags, Shenwei went rigid. Then he relaxed with a voiceless sigh and accepted the embrace, as if the two of them did this all the time, or as though he had been waiting for this his whole life. Zhao Yanlan held him carefully. Then he said at last, even though it broke his heart,
"You still smell like rain, you know. And your skin is so cold."
Shenwei started to pull back. Zhao Yanlan restrained him without force.
"Are you healing yourself of hypothermia? I didn't think of it until just now, but so much time kneeling in the rain, that would be a concern."
Shenwei stepped out of Zhao Yanlan's arms. His eyes had gone wide behind his glasses.
"I don't understand,"
he whispered, white to the lips.
"Kneeling in the rain for hours, Shenwei. I'm wondering if it gave you hypothermia."
Shenwei turned away from him and carried his groceries to the kitchen counter. His movements were so stiff he might have just risen from the pavement.
"It was not hours of rain," he said.
"Not even 90 minutes.
So much for keeping his temper.
90 minutes, 900 years, Zhao Yanlan shouted. "You know that is not the point."
Shenwei stood still for a moment, then resumed unpacking groceries.
"Then I still do not understand."
"Shenwei, I'm asking, who the fuck is Feng Chu being that you would ever kneel to him?"
The words hit like blows. Zhao Yanlan could almost see him flinching against them, but his voice was level.
"He is the healer who restored your vision."
"That's not nearly good enough."
Shenwei continued putting food away.
"Yes," he said, his voice gone so quiet Zhao Yanlan had to strain to hear. "It is."
"Are you out of your mind? You couldn't have known he would be successful."
"He cured Professor Ouyang of a debilitating chronic pain. Furthermore, Dr. Feng's great desire for secrecy made me suspect he was hiding a talent fueled by dark energy."
"So you hoped he could do it, and on that thinnest of hopes, you allowed him to torture you for hours."
Shenwei finally turned, though he would not meet Zhao Yanlan's eyes.
"It was hardly torture.
That son of a bitch left you kneeling on the street for the entire day."
"It was not all day, nor was I on a public street."
10 hours, Shenwei, in a courtyard barely a meter off the public thoroughfare. An ordinary human could have been crippled.
You must have been continually healing yourself to prevent damage to nerves and muscles from being on pavement for so long.
I think you are still healing yourself even now."
Shenwei's silence brought him up short. Zhao Yanlan closed his eyes and sucked air through his teeth.
He had intended to be so calm about this.
"So come sit down, please. I will order out for us while you rest, and then we will have dinner and talk like reasonable adults. Besides, you bought us soup dumplings for lunch. You must allow me to repay the debt."
"You owe me nothing," Shenwei whispered.
Enough, enough, enough!
Zhao Yunlan roared, to hell with keeping his temper. Now this is a noteworthy occasion indeed. I have caught our good Professor Shan in yet another untruth.
I certainly owe you the considerable sum Dr. Feng required for his services. There's a check on the coffee table.
I would have sent the funds through WeChat, but I know, you do not have a cell phone.
What I cannot calculate is the sum one friend would owe another in recompense for his hours spent kneeling in unworthy tribute.
Now you are mocking me. Shen Wei's face was utterly ashen.
No, not mocking. Never that. I'm only trying my damnedest to understand. And it is an uphill battle, I freely admit. Nevertheless, I'm going to order us a nice dinner for delivery. Do not protest. Your fresh produce will keep for a night or two. And then we will talk about why you thought your suffering was a reasonable way to convince that so-called doctor to treat my blindness.
He was successful.
Do you even hear yourself? You make it sound like you would suffer anything for my sake.
He did me no lasting harm, and he restored your vision, Zhao Yunlan.
How can I stand to be responsible for hurting you? If you would kneel down before that craven, power-hungry bully on the off chance he might help me, where would you draw the line?
Shen Wei only looked at him, his gaze unendurably gentle.
A tidal wave of rage and fear crashed over Zhao Yunlan. I never asked for this.
He could barely recognize his own strangled voice.
I do not want your sacrifice.
At that, rain smashed against the window panes with such violence, it might have been the rage of Zhao Yunlan's own emotions made manifest. He flinched sharply, and Shen Wei came forward in alarm as he scrubbed his hands over his face. He sucked in great, deep breaths, his heart pounding in his chest like he'd just run a marathon.
Not this again. Not now.
What is it? Shen Wei sounded half frantic. What's happening?
Oh, Shen Wei, he moaned, unable to help himself. It's not raining, is it?
Shen Wei's eyes darted toward the windows over the bed.
Why would you think it's raining?
That's the other thing I got with my restored vision.
Zhao Yunlan stumbled to the sofa and sat down hard.
Now Yuzun can show me the rain in real time instead of just sending it to me in nightmares.
Yuzun is in contact with you?
Shen Wei laid his hand on Zhao Yunlan's shoulders, leaning over him on the sofa.
How do you know? What has he done?
He's got his eye on you, too. He sent me a nightmare about you kneeling in the rain, but it didn't come through very clearly, or maybe I'm just stupid.
Zhao Yunlan, your bad dreams of last night.
I didn't understand what was happening. I could feel the pavement under my knees, under your knees. But I didn't recognize the courtyard. How could I? I hadn't seen it yet with my own eyes. And since I got my vision back, I've been seeing imaginary rainstorms practically every time I look out a window.
Shen Wei sat down next to him on the sofa. He took Zhao Yunlan's wrists with gentle hands and pulled them down to stop him from rubbing at his eyes. Tell me how you know this is the work of Yuzun.
At first I thought it was a side effect of touching the hollows, but then he started talking to me.
Not much, just petulant little outbursts that slip through when I'm distracted or upset. He's angry that you hurt yourself for me. He seems to think he's the only one who gets to do that. He does bear me a particular animus, but Chao Yunlan, he is extremely dangerous.
True!
Zhao Yunlan freed one hand to wave it in front of his eyes. I have certainly noticed Yizhan is a clear and present danger to anyone in his path. Shunwei drew his hand down again. He established a mental link while you were defending yourself with the longevity dial. I should have known that was a possibility, but I confess I have been inexcusably distracted. I am sorry. Zhao Yunlan waved away the apology in frustration. He could not even begin to cope with that now. So that's how he got into my head, but what's his connection with you? He knew what you were doing and why. Our connection is a very old one. But he was only able to get so close because of my inattention. We can't fight him if he can watch everything we do. Of course, I can shield us both. I should have done so before now, but I know I was distracting you with my inconvenient blindness. Zhao Yunlan, Shunwei said in anguish. He reached forward as though to lay a hand on Zhao Yunlan's face, but let his arm drop before he touched him.
No more of this. We're doing Yuzhen's work for him when we hurt each other. When will you be strong enough to enact protection for us?
Shunwei bowed his head. It is already done.
Didn't I just say, wait until you are strong enough?
Zhao Yunlan complained, but an instant later he realized his entire being felt more at ease, as though a tight band around his brow had suddenly been loosened and removed. I will always have the strength to protect you, Shunwei assured him. Zhao Yunlan could have screamed at how completely Shunwei had missed the point. Except it felt so good to be free of that unrecognized oppression, he could not help the smile he felt spreading across his face.
He's gone. I can feel it. No, whatever you're about to say, I do not want to hear it now. I am going to order dinner, he brandished his phone. We will relax. You will rest and recover and stop telling me that you are fine. And then, only then, we will talk about this when our bellies are full and our minds are calm.
It was a noble plan, but as Zhao Yunlan was about to punch the restaurant's number, the call came in from the SID. He stared bleakly at the screen for a moment before answering.
Why haven't you people gone home yet? And this is the thanks we get for doing the real work? Dajin snapped back.
You need to check your email.
There's a connection between the patients that Feng Chu being cured and the victims of premature aging at Junan Corp.
What sort of connection? Even as he asked, he was opening the document and angling the phone so Shunwei could read over his shoulder.
Like a one-to-one correspondence?
Ju Hong compared our lists when she realized Dr. Feng's clinic is just on the other side of the new construction, behind Junan Corp. Look at the spreadsheet. Someone walks out of Dr. Feng's clinic cured, just as another salesman becomes an old man in the blink of an eye. Zhao Yunlan scrolled to the bottom of the screen, but he already knew what he would find. He himself had entered Dr. Feng's office at 8 this morning, and half a block away, a young salesman had lost decades of his life.
The phone slipped from nerveless fingers. Shen Wei caught it as it fell and said something to Da Qin, but Jia Yinlan was past listening. The return of his precious sight. That intoxicating rush of vitality and love. The beauty of the city morning and the smile on Shen Wei's face. All those deep pleasures ripped from someone else. His gorge rose. He staggered to his feet and made it to the bathroom. His body swept with waves of nausea. Nothing came up. He couldn't vomit out the stolen youth that suffused every cell of his being, no matter how violently his gut seized. And finally, he slumped down onto the tile floor. He curled around himself, forehead pressed to his knees, panting in exhausted misery. His very eyes felt swollen and so hot, he imagined he would see nothing but leaping flames if he dared to open them. Shen Wei's cool hand touched one shoulder. "Let me help you up," he urged softly.
"Don't touch me," Zhao Yinlan moaned. "Get the hell out."
Silence. The hand rose from his shoulder. Then, with a pinched and unconvincing calm, Shen Wei said, "I will not leave you like this." Zhao Yinlan groaned. He pressed his forehead against his knees and wondered if shedding actual tears would cool his burning eyes.
You humbled yourself before a doctor who was no better than a vampire. And for what? To gain a blessing for me, I will surely curse every day for the rest of my life. This was not worth your honor. This was not worth a stranger's life.
There was no answer from Shen Wei. He didn't leave either. Zhao Yinlan lay curled on his bathroom floor with his stomach muscles aching. It wasn't comfortable, but with his own words ringing in his ears, he could not face Shen Wei again either. He meant those words. Each one was true. He could say worse. He could lie here and hurl invective at Shen Wei for the rest of the night, and Shen Wei would silently refuse to leave. And it would not alter anything that had happened, would it? He uncurled a bit. His belly spasmed in protest, but when he opened his eyes, there were no flames.
"Wait, can you reverse this, now that we know what he was doing?"
"We will not discuss it while you remain on the bathroom floor." Jia Yinlan grunted, acknowledging he had been outmaneuvered, and allowed Shen Wei to draw him to his feet. He tried to walk him to the bed, but Zhao Yinlan insisted on the sofa. He sat with his head in his hands. Shen Wei remained standing.
"Well, go on," he said at last. "Can you fix this? Give that poor salesman back the years of his life I stole?"
"You did not."
"It doesn't matter that I didn't know. I'm the one enjoying the benefits."
"No," he said. "I cannot." Zhao Yinlan hissed in disappointment.
"Shen Wei, if nothing else, I will make a negotiator out of you yet."
Then a dark suspicion struck him.
"Would you even tell me? Or would you leave me my vision at the cost of another man's life?"
Was there any sacrifice Shen Wei would refuse? Though it seems clear he's stealing the life force of others in order to heal, I do not understand the process and I cannot reverse it. But
Feng Chubi may be able to.
Zhao Yanlan saw the problem.
Will he agree?
He is already guilty and secretive about his power. If we confront him with what we know, he may repent and reverse what damage he is able.
And if he doesn't repent?
Zhao Yanlan had been a policeman his entire professional life, after all.
Then he will face justice in Dixin.
You said you couldn't detect the use of dark energy.
Which does not mean it was not being used. Also, as you know, I am the sole arbiter of such questions in Haixin.
That comes in handy, Zhao Yanlan smiled bleakly. His eyes were still watering, and he wiped them irritably. Shen Wei folded a tissue into his hand. Zhao Yanlan shook his head.
Feng Chubing couldn't understand why you cared so much about my sight. He even asked me this morning if I owed you money. At the time, I thought he was just a sad bastard who never had a friend, but now...
He forced himself to look up at Shen Wei without blinking or averting his gaze.
It wasn't so easy.
Shen Wei probably thought he was expressionless. In truth, he looked like a prisoner at the dock. Zhao Yanlan finally had to look away to deliver the verdict.
Now I know what he was talking about. And I don't understand it either.
I will always do my utmost to protect you, Shen Wei said simply. When Zhao Yanlan finally looked back at him, he even tried on a smile, like he might try on a new suit coat. Zhao Yanlan winced.
Your son thinks I will be the death of you. You have made me very afraid, Shen Wei, that he knows exactly what he is talking about.
All I can ask is that you listen to me instead of to our sworn enemy. Can I bring you your medication? Zhao Yanlan realized his hands were folded protectively over his gut.
It's not my gastritis. The medicine wouldn't help. I'm sorry, I promised you dinner.
I can make...
Warmed over congee is all I'm up for tonight.
Shen Wei bowed his head. I will leave you then, he said softly.
Wait, where are you going?
You have had a difficult day. As you have made clear to me, I am not making matters any easier. You need your rest before the trials tomorrow may bring.
Just because I told you to get out?
He hurt himself and broke off, cocking an eyebrow at Shen Wei.
Don't go, Zhao Yanlan conceded, managing a wave of his hand.
We need to work out our strategy for confronting Dr. Feng tomorrow morning.
Besides, you are a valuable consultant of special investigations. Who told you you could walk out in the middle of a case?
Shen Wei's shoulders relaxed. The smile was faint but genuine. I will reheat congee for both of us.
Chapter 4
Cares will not come untangled, streaming down all day in silken threads.
Zhao Yanlan clung to that memory as Dr. Feng stretched out his hands and began to gather back the stolen vitality which had restored his sight. He experienced the tug on his innermost being like a request to surrender, and he most emphatically did not want to. It felt like making a conscious decision to die. So he remembered that cautious smile from Shen Wei. Brighter than sunlight through the clouds, small and tentative as it had been, and called forth at the mere prospect of reheated rice porridge shared in Jia Yunlan's company. Cradled in that memory, Jia Yunlan finally let go, allowing himself to be undone. The worst of it was concentrated under his brows, but soon enough the sickening disentanglement spread through the rest of his body, a relentless unmaking of every strength. Finally, terribly, even the memory of Shen Wei's smile began to warp. Wisps of long gray hair blew around his face. A smirk twisted lips that were not, could not be Shen Wei's. And with that, he remembered what Shen Wei had already sacrificed. The thought of sacrifices still to come wrenched a groan from him. The connection to Feng Chubing snapped. Pain was replaced by a gray weight that slowed the beat of his own heart. He blinked open his eyes to find himself in darkness, edged by the same heavy, wet gloom. He heard Dr. Feng's death rattle, and he reached out instinctively. His legs wouldn't bear his weight, so he stumbled to his knees to find and grasp hands that were even colder than his own. He had walked into the clinic hating the doctor who had restored his vision, but his anger had slipped away. Though he could not forgive him, he could acknowledge the man's final sacrifice. He heard Shen Wei thanking the doctor on behalf of the lives he had saved, and then Shen Wei's warm hands encircled Zhao Yunlan's wrists. He drew Zhao Yunlan's hands away from the dead ones he still held. "Can you stand up?" "Yes," Zhao Yunlan lied, and remained kneeling until Shen Wei slipped an arm under his shoulders and carefully pulled him to his feet. Zhao Yunlan stumbled in leaden shadows. "Here," Shen Wei murmured. "The chair's right behind you." His voice broke. "Are you in pain?" "Shen Wei, Shen Wei," he protested. "Stop. I'm going to be all right." Silence met that. "In any event," Zhao Yunlan continued, "there was no other way." Shen Wei didn't answer that either. Zhao Yunlan felt a dull ember of rage, but it was buried deep under a weight of exhaustion. His very soul felt cold and tired. He waved one hand vaguely. "Go summon the others." Lin Jing and Da Qin had been stationed in the street outside. "Let me take you home. You do not need to wait here while the death is recorded." "In fact, you and I both need to remain here since we were the last to see Dr. Feng alive." "In light of the circumstances..." Zhao Yunlan talked over him. "Ah, despite your surprisingly extensive experiences, you are actually quite new to the practice of law enforcement and may not be aware..." "You are not well. You can barely sit up straight." Zhao Yunlan straightened his shoulders. "Thank you. It would not do for the Chief of Special Investigations to look slipshod." "You cannot..." Shen Wei finally stopped himself. Zhao Yunlan waited. The universe was so gray and dense, waiting seemed the only viable option. Maybe he could catch a nap. His eyes closed as Shen Wei's hand fell on his shoulder. "I will return momentarily." "Yes." His head was too heavy to nod. Shen Wei's footsteps finally moved away across the floorboards.
The lightweight doors rattled, and Zhao Yulan was left alone with the Feng Chu being.
"I am sorry, Doc," Zhao Yulan whispered to the corpse in the room with him. "It seems we both got played by the master of the merit brush, eh?"
The doors slammed open.
"I don't believe it," Lin Jing crowed. "You actually killed the guy."
Dr. Feng perished while attempting to reverse the premature aging without sacrificing the health of his own patients, Shen Wei reprimanded quietly. "He will be honored for his sacrifice." Zhao Yanlan felt air moving in front of his face. He put out his hand and grabbed an arm. Da Qing had evidently been waving his fingers in front of his eyes, and he exclaimed indignantly,
"Then why is Zhao Yanlan blind again?"
"Because my eyesight is not worth another man's life." He pushed away Da Qing's arm.
"Call the medical examiner. They'll have questions."
"We all have questions," Lin Jing said too emphatically.
Zhao Yanlan ignored him.
"Shen Wei, help me up.
We don't all need to wait in the same room with the body."
Shen Wei took his forearm and eased him to his feet. For a moment, Zhao Yanlan was not sure he had the strength to stand. Only his determination not to go sprawling in front of his people kept his knees locked.
"Zhao Yanlan?" Shen Wei asked in soft concern.
He brushed away the worried voice with a weak flick of his fingers.
"I'll be fine."
He heard his own words slurring.
"I just need to take it slow for a minute or two."
Shen Wei caught his gesturing hand. "Do not underestimate the severity of this. You require rest and care."
"And here you are before me," Zhao Yanlan mumbled.
His head dropped, and before he realized what he was doing, he had crumpled into Shen Wei's arms. His head was hot against Shen Wei's breastbone. That warmth was such a relief, he gave himself over to Shen Wei's strength. The next thing he knew was the comfortable smell of cooking. Zhao Yanlan lay still for a time, considering. The universe was still as monochromatic as a rainy afternoon at work, even after he blinked a few times to convince himself that the final events in Dr. Feng's clinic had not been just another bad dream. Then he remembered that these days his bad dreams had an unfortunate tendency to come true. At any rate, when he opened his eyes again, there was still nothing but rainwater gray. The smells of ginger and garlic were the sole warmth in a gloomy reality.
"Shen Wei?"
"I'm here, Zhao Yanlan." A gentle hand touched his forehead. And there was the other. He sighed and allowed his tensing muscles to relax.
"How do you feel?"
Not a question he was interested in exploring.
"What's for dinner?"
"This is butternut squash soup. Can I bring you a bowl?"
"A good autumn meal. My mother believed you should only have warming yang vegetables as the days grew shorter."
"Your mother was wise." Shen Wei's voice moved off.
"It's a pity you find it so difficult to heed your early training about sensible eating habits."
Zhao Yanlan sucked air through his teeth.
"Ruthless indeed, bringing my mother into it."
"No one can accomplish the task without its proper tools," Shen Wei conceded mildly. "Sit up and I will place the bowl in your hands." Zhao Yanlan thought about that. It seemed like a lot of effort, and as good as the food smelled, he was still too exhausted to be hungry.
"Wait a minute, what about Feng Chu Bing?"
"Damn it, I told you we needed to be there." "And then you collapsed,"
You have been sleeping all afternoon. I am sorry, but it was agreed that you were no shape to oversee the investigation at that point.
Zhao Xinse gave me permission to bring you home.
Zhao Yilan groaned loud and long. Please tell me my father is not in charge. The ministry will have our heads.
The ministry believes that you and Feng Chubing ended the plague of premature aging at great personal cost to you both. In that, they are entirely correct.
Shunwei rearranged the pillows at Zhao Yilan's back and gently but irresistibly encouraged him to sit up. Then he placed the small warm bowl in Zhao Yilan's left hand and wrapped the fingers of his right around the handle of a spoon.
Let me know if the flavor is too bland. I thought it best to season lightly while you are recovering.
He concentrated on simply lifting the spoon to his mouth one sip at a time. Shunwei sat on the edge of the bed, an undemanding but desperately welcome presence. He eased the bowl from Zhao Yilan's hand when his grasp finally slipped.
Is that all you want for now?
Zhao Yilan agreed.
Shunwei adjusted the pillows again, and he slid down, claimed by the gray universe of sleep.
By contrast, the nightmare that found Zhao Yilan came in flashes of lurid color.
He was crouched outside Dr. Feng's clinic, watching orange flames leap behind the tall windows and scrabble across the wooden shutters with fiery claws. Reflections of the conflagration danced in puddles all across the courtyard. Zhao Yilan's knees were wet, and he thought he must have been wounded. His breath wheezed, and his heart felt too weary to beat for very much longer. He thought he was probably dying. Any regret at that knowledge was balanced by his fierce satisfaction in the destruction around him. But then he caught a small sound at his back, so soft he almost missed it under the roar of the flames. He forced himself to turn his head and saw another figure crouching on the wet paving stones.
No, he cried out. Shunwei, what are you doing here?
Shunwei turned his head. His face was painted with blood, his eye sockets empty and seared black.
Zhao Yilan,
he said, his voice muffled by the blood in his mouth.
You are well?
Zhao Yilan came back to leaden gloom with that same voice pleading with him to wake up. He reached for the hands gripping his upper arms.
I'm awake, he said, trying to convince himself.
He reached further and brushed his fingertips over Shunwei's chin, then patted upwards across the whisper of stubble on his jaw.
I'm awake.
He laid the pads of his fingers on lips that trembled minutely at his touch. He touched the tip of his nose, traced the bridge, felt the brush of eyelashes resting on his cheek, the fragile eyelid, and the brow above. Shunwei permitted the cautious exploration by holding very still, hardly seeming to breathe.
Shunwei, he finally managed in a hoarse voice. You're all right?
It was only a dream. I'm fine. Zhao Yilan nodded to himself, remnants of the nightmare still weighing him down. At last, he sat up in bed and swung his legs around.
It wasn't just a dream, he said.
Then what? He closed his fingers around Shunwei's wrist and pulled him down to sit beside him. He tried to explain.
It wasn't the hollows. It wasn't Yuzun. Just my brain working things out. So I guess that means it really was a dream. Apparently we don't give plain old dreams nearly enough credit.
Shunwei said nothing.
He didn't pull his arm away either.
I'm a damned hypocrite, he mused out loud. Shenwei, you're going to be the death of me one way or another.
Never. It was just a nightmare.
That's not what rips me up inside. What I can't stand is knowing I will certainly be the death of you.
That seems very unlikely, Shenwei huffed. Your bad dreams have made you melancholy.
Do you think you can get back to sleep?
What time is it? Jiayuan asked instead.
It's 2 in the morning.
Have you been sitting up all night? Where's Dajin?
He checked on you much earlier in the evening before going out again.
Yeah, okay, damn cat.
He is very concerned about you.
He is not alone in that.
How are you feeling?
More human, at any rate. I need a shower.
He released Shenwei's arm and launched himself, rather too energetically, to his feet. Shenwei caught him before he could fall and walked him to the bathroom. This was a procedure they had worked out during his first blindness.
Your towel is here. Shenwei guided his hand to the rack. Your bathrobe is hanging on the back of the door. Be sure to throw your clothes in the hamper so you don't trip over them.
Shenwei's assiduous care had irked Jiayuan before.
Now it gave him a lump in his throat.
Yes, I'll be careful, he promised. I'll call if I need anything.
In the shower at last, he braced himself against the shower wall, resting his head against his forearms.
So, he thought, this was what it meant to hold the heart of the Lord Envoy himself. It wasn't even a new development, so he had no business acting surprised. Shenwei had handed himself over, body and soul, at their very first meeting, if not somehow, impossibly, even before then. It was all simply too astonishing, and for months now, Jiayuan had not taken him seriously. Continuing to tease and flirt like this was all a game. Not a pursuit he'd won before he'd even begun the chase. But when his father had the nerve to warn him away, the truth had come out immediately. Jiayuan already knew Shenwei would always be there for him. He simply hadn't imagined what such utterly selfless, completely unconditional love might look like.
Well, he'd seen it now, and it was fucking terrifying.
Hot water beat down on his shoulders as he balled his fist. He remembered Shenwei kneeling in the cold rain. He also remembered the wordless plea that he held on to his sight, regardless of the cost to anyone else.
It turned out having a friend sworn to protect you regardless of the consequences was neither as pure nor as beautiful as such things were depicted in love stories.
Well, Wang Zheng and Song Zan could have told him that. Come to think of it, Song Zan actually had. He also remembered that his father had told him afterwards, so out of character he at first believed it was some sort of cruel joke at the expense of his blindness. But no, his rigid father, a man who'd never met a statute he would not die or kill to enforce, believed the journey was more important than the destination. Having chosen Shenwei, there was no longer any question of right or wrong. And the road ahead was the question, wasn't it? Except that it really wasn't and hadn't been for a long time. There was nothing he wouldn't do to protect Shenwei. It was probably far too late to complain now,
that Shen Wei had shown there was nothing he would not sacrifice for Zhao Yanlan in turn. He rinsed off the soap and stepped carefully out of the shower. Shen Wei was waiting for him at the bathroom door when he came out in his robe. "I have laid pajamas out for you on your bed," he said, walking him the few steps over. "I will give you privacy while you dress." "Wait." Zhao Yanlan caught his arm. "I have something to tell you." Shen Wei stilled. Zhao Yanlan would always regret not being able to see that beautiful face, but it did make it easier to say the next words. "You scare the hell out of me, Shen Wei. You scare me far more now than you ever did as the distant and mysterious old Brother Black. I never intended. I am not worthy of your sacrifices. But I would do the same for you. Anything you ever needed and more, so I don't know." He shook his head in frustration. It had all seemed so clear in the shower, but now he foundered. "You don't need to. I'm telling you, so you know how it is for me. I expect I will get very angry again in the future. I really wish you would give me the option of weighing in before you do something idiotic, so I can talk you out of it. But I'm terrified to think that's not going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't tell you if our positions were reversed, and I thought you might stop me." He sucked in a deep breath, remembering the bloodied, ruined face from his nightmare. "I can only ask if you care for me. Please, allow me to give you some pleasure instead of only bringing you pain." Standing this close, his hand on Shen Wei's arm, Zhao Yanlan felt his full body shudder. Shen Wei drew his breath. "You have never..." He stopped, seeming to reconsider the words. Zhao Yanlan laughed without humor. "Thank you for not lying about that. I know damn well I have caused you pain. Sit with me now." Zhao Yanlan drew him down until they were side by side on the bed. He put his hands carefully on Shen Wei's shoulders. "Shen Wei, may I kiss you?" Shen Wei touched his face lightly. Two fingers brushed his lips. "Is that yes? No? Still thinking about it? I don't have a lot to offer right now, sitting here like the blind cat who found a rat. But we're going to figure this out together." And Shen Wei hushed him with a brief, dry press of cool lips against his own. "Lovely," Zhao Yanlan murmured. "Let's try that again." He moved one hand to Shen Wei's cheek and slid the other around to the nape of his neck. Shen Wei's lips parted under his own. Zhao Yanlan put his arms around him and pulled him closer, deepening the kiss. He paused at last to whisper against Shen Wei's mouth, "You're shivering. Put your arms around me. There's nothing to be afraid of. By your bleak reckoning, we have everything to fear," Shen Wei said wryly, though his voice was very rough. Zhao Yanlan barked in laughter and kissed his cheek with a smack, burying his face against Shen Wei's shoulder as Shen Wei's arms finally came around him to return the embrace. "In that case, we better face it together, eh?" He nosed under Shen Wei's starched collar and kissed the impossibly soft and warm skin where neck met shoulder. Shen Wei gasped. Blind eyes open wide, Zhao Yanlan imagined he could almost see the scent of Shen Wei's sandalwood cologne, shining like a whisper of gold
through the rain. End. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to leave feedback for the author, Martha.